Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
What's up, hustlers? It's Andrew Morgans, founder of Marknology, your host for today's episode of Startup Hustle, covering all things e-commerce and Amazon. We're going to step into a little bit of video today and talk about just content in general, what that is, what that means in the world as 2021 when you're selling products online, selling services online. Before we get started, today's episode of Startup Hustle is sponsored by Helium 10, cutting-edge software that helps you grow your business on Amazon. Startup Hustle listeners get 50% off their first month of Helium 10 Platinum when you go to helium10.com and use the code HUSTLE at checkout. Don't wait to get 50% off your first month. Go to helium10.com and use code HUSTLE. If you've been in the Amazon selling space at all, I know I've been in here 10 years. Helium 10 has been here almost that entire time, really dominating the space when it comes to research and helping you sell on Amazon. So we can get into that a little bit more. Before that, I'd like to introduce today's host, Tyler from E3M. Tyler, how's it going?
Not too bad. How about yourself?
Fantastic. Are you in Indy today? I know we talked about it earlier, but I didn't catch where you are today.
I am not. We have a project tomorrow in Chicago, so I am actually up in Chicago here at the current moment.
Well, lucky you. I'm trapped here in Kansas City. We've got good weather, but Chicago is one of my favorite cities, so enjoy. Let's talk about E3M. We were talking a little bit before the show, just with the Marknology's background in Amazon and video, and you're talking about some of the things you're doing that people have no idea about when it comes to video and content creation at a high level, things that only like a few people will see that have crazy high, you know, production value and things like that. How did you get, you said you've been in this space a long time. How did you get into, video, the content, visual content space? Let's get a little bit into your history, if you don't mind, and talk about how you got into the space.
Yeah, for sure. So I started at CareerBuilder.com, actually. So okay. I initially started off at CareerBuilder.com in 2008, and we were focused on recruitment branding as far as at that point. Like a lot of people think you work there. It's like, oh, I used to get this all the time. Oh, you're a headhunter. And I'm like, no. We put together the campaigns, email marketing. We had software that we used to target people and retarget people. We had 1,800 partner networks as well that we sold advertising through. So we worked with the brands as far as to craft their postings, craft their messaging, and then include branding online to find talent. So I was there for 3 years, had a good run there. I mean, I won like every award I could win in a sales and sales leadership project, but I was really looking for something as far as that I could really sink my teeth into and go 100% in. I mean, I think most founders know how that goes. It's like, you know, I always joke with everybody. They're like, oh, founders are so strong. And I'm like, no, founders are terrible employees. That's why they're their own manager. And
right.
Within that time, we were doing so much video work and like YouTube. I mean, I'm sure you remember it. Like YouTube 2005, when it got sold, and YouTube, or 2006, excuse me, when it got sold, it was still like, you know, like, what is this? And yeah. then the smartphone, it's the, it was kind of cool. It was like, you know, you had to, but you had to get a file. Like, you had to get a huge file and upload it, and it was processed, whatever. But the smartphone and those coming online as far as in 09 and people figuring out, like, okay, I got an app, I can upload this on my own media channel. It just led to this explosion. And the thing was, is pre-2010, in our space, like, a lot of it was the productions were so big. Like, you were talking, like, studio space. 2010, they just shrunk. Like, the, mm-hmm. the technology to get it done shrunk heavily. Anyway, within that time, I was doing a lot of hustling on the side, trying to figure out what the heck I want to do with the rest of my life. Digital media, digital marketing, video marketing, YouTube really evolved in that time. Met a producer. We started the company, and I'm years later in the production space. Here I am.
I love it. And, you know, there's so many synergies, I think, in founder stories. Like, you know, you're talking about careerbuilder.com. You weren't headhunting. You were building all of the media that went and did that, right? So it's targeting people or making the brands that were trying to make pitches look good. That's very similar to what we do on Marknology. You know, with Marknology and on Amazon, we make brands look good. We help them tell their stories. We use software like Helium 10 to do that. It's like data research. What are people searching? What are they finding? What images do they click on? Yep. What videos do they click on? Right. And so yeah. just like, that's what we do for businesses, is essentially set them up. And, you know, even before the pandemic, I think, there's been these catalysts in life, or, you know, in the world that push video forward. Like, Instagram made all of us photographers. And I think that's cool, because as humans, we're all creators. I believe that some of us have more talent than others, but maybe because we flex those muscles, but we are definitely like creator beings. And as the technology has shrunk, to be able to make all of us be able to make that little home video on our Osmo Pocket, or, you know, use the GoPro to capture, like, you know, snowboarding or things like that, it's kind of brought those things out in us. And so it's made the things like YouTube and Instagram and all of those push technology further, which I really love. You know, I'm in a space right now, kind of where you're saying, where like the production costs, you need a studio, you needed all this crazy equipment to do ads or advertisements or create content. And now working with brands that aren't, you know, not every brand we work with is $100 million brand. And so you've got a lot of brands that are, you know, trying to, you know, kick, scratch, claw their way, you know, into sales. And how do they do things with a smaller budget? How do they get videos made? Like, they have to be in here, but, you know, can they afford it? And where do you spend first? Do you photos first? Do you do video first? Like, what's important? You know, those are the fun things that I'm trying to, I'm not in the media creation space, but trying as strategists for a lot of brands, we're trying to help them navigate that. That's why I was like, so excited to get on this, this podcast together and just kind of talk through, you know, some of those things. So let's back it up just a little bit. I don't want to jump right in exactly. And so, okay. So you met a producer, and for anyone listening that doesn't know what a producer is, can you break that down just a little bit? As far as the difference between, you know, someone filming and a producer.
Yeah. So there is a big difference as far as between the person actually making everything come together as far as on a set, and then a person actually filming the actual footage as far as it needs to be captured. Like, a producer is basically a project manager as far as it knows production, that knows gear, that knows sets, that knows everything in and out as far as to make it happen, as far as within there. And I've always heard a quote, and I've always lived by it with a producer, that it doesn't matter how they get it done. They just have to get it done at the end of the day.
Shooters shoot, operators operate. You know, you just get the job done. I still find it weird when some people will just be like, well, that didn't happen. I'm like, well, I just don't understand. That had to be done. Why didn't it get done? Because there's just some things that have to get done. And, you know, I have seen some of my friends in action. I have a very close friend that's a producer, little media agency, here in KC. And I say little, but, seeing him work, seeing him produce, seeing him pull it together really brought it together for me as someone from the outside that didn't really understand what that role was. I think up until then, I had been hiring kind of like an all-in-one kind of person, someone that would shoot, produce, edit, you know, smaller budget type of stuff, freelancer stuff. And when I really saw kind of how a real team works, from the producer to a different person that's doing the editing, and it's the producer and editor that are really doing the storytelling, I don't think a lot of people understand all the parts that work really in pulling together a really good, even 2-minute clip.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And I mean, like, don't get me wrong, like, with the technology shrinking, like the situation is, and it's gotten so much better, is that, you know, you don't need to roll up in a bread truck as far as filled full of gear, you know, pull out $500,000 worth of stuff to make an actual, like, commercial or production actually happen. But, you know, it comes down to, the cost really comes down to the type of gear that the production team actually has. Because, and I explain this to folks all the time, like, you know, certain cameras, if you want like movie style, cinema style, quality content, like, I mean, those are being shot on like $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 cameras. Yeah. So, you know, you got to pay for that. So
I think, I just think like TikTok and some of these platforms that are coming out are making us get more, the audience essentially get a little more acclimated to, you know, we're not just watching Lord of the Rings and Avatar in the movies and expecting like commercials or ads to look the same way. And, you know, TikTok and them kind of pushing that at home content, fast editing, raw is almost better. I feel like there's being a change overall because of some of those platforms.
Big time. I mean, UGC, user generated content, is huge right now. I mean, marketing and advertising are pretty simple. Like, the marketers and advertisers find something that works, then they flood the market with it until people are completely turned off by it. And then they find the next best thing, and then they flood the market with that until everybody's turned off from it. And it's just a cycle, like over and over and over again.
I read somewhere that I think this number might even be small, but like on average, we get marketed to like over 10,000 times. You know, I think it was a month, honestly. I'm not sure. I think it could be differently. Like, even if it was a year, that's an insane amount. But when you really think about all the things that we engage with, you're really not that surprised to be getting hit that many times. And so maybe some of those are the same brands hitting you multiple times, but it's a lot of touches.
Yeah, no, 100%. It's a ton.
Let's talk to, so like, you know, a lot of my audience is coming in from the e-commerce kind of Amazon side, and, you know, I'm learning this as we go in regards to the different types of video and who to connect them with and what size video do they need and do they need to focus on different things, you know. And we have like, you know, there can be product focused videos, which are like, you know, really about showing the focus of the product and like how it works and its quality. There can be like educational type material content that's like, maybe we've got an invention and we need more of like a how to use this product, how to install it, like what its purpose can be so that people can understand it. Almost always it's around storytelling, whether it's like how this product can make your life better or how to use this product. And then we have like, you know, usually the one I push them to, if they are only like, we can afford one, which is like that brand video of like who they are and what we're selling and why their products are great. You know, of those three, do you think there's one that's kind of, you know, if a brand is kind of choosing to step into this space, like where they should start, is there a right answer here? Or is it kind of just like scenario based?
It's scenario based because, I mean, we had this conversation. I had this exact conversation with a client that they do massive like commercial HVAC projects.
Okay.
So their thing was they're like, yeah, we know we need this brand video to be able to tell people who we are, what we do, and the value we provide to the world. But they're like, we think like we just need to focus on the product and like the end deliverable as far as within this, because that's going to increase our sales, because they're like, you know, nobody really cares about us. They just want the end results. And they're like, you know, we hear you on this, but at the same time, like, we want this. So it just depends situationally. Like, I mean, if you have a physical product and you're listing that as far as on a site and you're trying to tell the story of how this fits into their life, like, focus on that. Like, I mean, some of the times, like, people don't, if you're buying something, like, you don't really care about the people behind the brand. You just want the end result. You know what I mean?
I do feel like that's changing a little bit, like a passing of the guard. And I don't know if it's like with the millennials or whatnot. But I do feel like there is this change from like, I want to know who this company is and what they support and what they're about. I'm buying from the company versus just like the product. I would say like as a founder, as an entrepreneur at the beginning, when there weren't opportunities like a dime a dozen and you're just like trying to carve out your space, it was about like, just get these people results. I'm nobody from the next person. Like I'm just focusing on the quality of the work, quality of the work, quality of the work. This is what we're going to like sell for them. But I would say that as I've evolved a little bit in business, if it's okay to walk that line, to essentially say that it's changed a little bit for me, and it is like who I want to work with versus like, you know, what we want to do. Like I'm very much about that. Like I only want to work with brands that are also about building us back, and it's kind of like a give and take. And so now I'm wanting, even as a company, as a service-based company, I'm wanting to put out content that attracts the people that care about those things so that we're aligned, right? So instead of just being like, I'm an Amazon guru, here's our results, we 5x sales, we 10x sales, we 100x sales, like we've gone from a million to 10 million with this brand, you know, we're talking about who's on our team, you know, what we care about, the brands we work with, are we working with sustainable brands or eco-friendly or eco-focused type brands. You know, so I think that there can be that like ebb and flow, and you got to figure out like, look, if we don't have sales, we're not going to be in business anyway, and it's not going to matter. But also like, you know, really choosing those things. Like if budget's not an issue, I'm an A/B tester. I'm like, let's run them both. You know, let's create an educational one and a sales one and A/B test them. You know, I know Facebook is kind of how we started the combo. But if you're not A/B testing, you're completely dropping the ball. So, you know, don't just pick one, pick as many as possible. Is that a good answer for a content creative agency that's looking to create videos?
I mean, you got to try stuff. I mean, you've got to try and see what works. Like, I mean, that's the thing is like in content creation, and I'm sure you've thought it before. You've probably seen 100,000 people as far as at your organization that like, they think I've built it. This is wonderful. Like everybody's going to buy this. And it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Did you create something that's valuable, or did you create something that fixes a problem for you? You know what I mean? Like, does it actually have brand value in a marketplace? And, you know, the situation with it is like things change. I mean, you know, look what's happened to newspapers. Look what's happened to the rotary telephone. You know what I mean? I mean, things change. Like it's just right. How it works. So you've got to be ready to adapt to the crowd. I mean, it's like you were saying, going back to what you said initially with the working with brands, buying from brands that are a part of like who you are basically. And thank you, Apple, for doing that, but like, or starting that, but like it's becoming more of a pie, but some of the audience, you know, you got the baby boomers still, they just want quality. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They know when they pull up to McDonald's or they buy that red and white Coca-Cola that it's going to taste the exact same that it did in 1950 and 2021. You know what I mean?
Consistency. Question for you. So a brand, we talked about like what video they could start with, and we said it was situational. When do you feel like a brand needs to, you know, start searching for a content partner for them, you know, to kind of take their stuff to the next level? Maybe they're doing a little bit on their own. Maybe they're doing social media, but it's more like static graphics and photos, and they're ready to add video to it. You know, what size does the company be? When should they start looking? If they're evaluating right now while listening to us and they're like, I need video, how do they know when they're ready for that?
So one of the biggest areas of it, again, it's situational as far as with this, but I think when you really start building the brand like of the company and start building that, you need to start looking at an overview video within your video marketing tree of that answers a question, 60 to 120 second piece that answers a question of who are we, what do we do, what's the value we provide to the world. And then from there, you layer on things as far as such as client testimonials and case studies, culture content, because you got to build the employment brand fast. Like as soon as you start hiring, like the employment brand's got to be figured out, because, you know, slow to hire, quick to fire as far as within this space, because if you're a 10, 15 person shop, I mean, that's a whole other conversation. I'll leave that there for now. But those areas to start as far as initially, if you have a product that's like, I don't know, something like a kickball, like you don't really need something professionally done. Like,
right.
Show people enjoying it. Like, get on your phone and show people enjoying it. Like, that's, it's not that compared to selling, you know, electronics equipment or selling engineering services. Like, we've done a ton of work with a company that does bridge restorations. Like, that's dangerous work. Like, they need training content. They need safety content. They need recruitment content for new people to come in, things along those lines.
I know for me personally, you know, we started with that branding video, like who we are and what we do, and wanted to show people, like, you know, we're not just nerds behind a screen. You know, we're real people. We do cool stuff. We want to work on your brand, you know, and from there it went to getting in-person testimonials, like in using video for that versus the written. Those were fantastic and have really helped our business as well. And I mean, we're not like, and we have a YouTube channel, you know, we've invested in there, doing different videos, customer, you know, meet and greets, like just vlogging, things like that. And what I would say between all of those, what it's done for me as a business, if I can just be like, you know, real authentic about it, is that they were more like a trust tool. And, you know, so like a brand that cares about trust and is like investigating your company or who to work with. And they see who they are. And so whenever they get introduced to names, they're seeing faces on maybe on that video, or they're seeing, you know, they're relating to a customer testimonial that's, you know, got, it has to have good content in the videos, let's be honest. And then, you know, when I get on a phone call and they say, hey, I've watched your videos on YouTube, I'm already knowing that they know who I am in a lot of ways, right? We've met digitally before we've met. Exactly. In the 2021 world, like that's what it is. You're building a relationship through, you know, through those videos. And I think that's been the biggest thing. If I was to say like, this is what it's done for Marknology by investing in video, this is what we got of it. It's getting on the phone call with new potential brands or clients and them feeling like they know us as a team, makes it a lot easier to close those deals and, you know, be aligned right from the beginning with the brand.
Yeah. So we've done so much content of like the team throughout the years. This is crazy. I have a crazy story that'll build on what you're talking about right now. When we were still able to go to conferences, as far as like, you know, the large business conferences and whatnot, we went to one called Apartmentalize, and it's in Denver, Colorado, right in downtown Denver. And I've done work with Zillow for like 8 years now or something like that, as far as various projects that they've sent us out on. But the guy that I directly worked with on both project management, creative direction, and then who signed off on all of our projects, I had never met. And we had been doing business with them for like 8 years. Mm-hmm. And I'm in at this after party, and somebody from like 30 yards away from me as we're walking up to this after party yells, Tyler. And I turned around. I was like, oh my God, that's Curtis. And he came up and like gave me a hug. I was just so shocked by it. I was just like, geez,
yeah.
That's the power of this stuff.
I love it. You know, I was working with a client of ours for 6 years before I met him in the Amazon space. And, you know, I guess I'm just always like, I'm a very relational, like in-person type of person, but instead of being like, okay, I'm going to disregard all social media or things like that. Instead, it's been like, how do I turn these platforms into like as authentic or in-person as I can be, but through video, you know? Yeah. And so bridging that gap, instead of being like, hey, this is what we have to work with, this is us now. You know, how can I use content and video to, maybe that's a personal touch, maybe that's a monthly update to your brands, maybe that's how to explainer videos in the onboarding guide or like in the monthly checkups. You know, I think there's just so many creative ways to use video now. And you know, if we had Gary Vee on this podcast or some of the other leaders in the space, you know, they'd be talking about you know, subtitles and the work to have you know, those be search friendly. as YouTube and those channels are the biggest search engines in the globe, and video is becoming more. And so like having our subtitles and tags and those kinds of things are essentially the newest SEO, you know? And so where is it going? You know, I think right now Amazon pushes it as like, pushes sellers to have it because the subtitles, because of the hearing impaired. But I really believe that that's kind of just not an excuse, because I think that that's needed, but I think they have bigger plans in mind in regards to making those videos search friendly through those captions. Time will tell. But I think that, you know, if you're not creating video now as a brand, you will be left behind, in my opinion, as far as digitally and being able to digit marketably, you know, on that platform. I don't know if you would agree, but, and I'm not trying to sell video, like I don't make any money selling video, but I'm just telling you guys and my listeners, like if you're not starting to learn video or find partnerships that can help you do it at a high level within your company, a lot of the new up and coming winning ways to market and sell your products are going to be unattainable for you.
I mean, you were talking about as far as, you know, having conversations with people and being a little early to the game as far as with what you do. I mean, could you imagine like in 2010, we're calling people on the phone and being like, you know, hey, what are your thoughts on video marketing? You know, they're thinking TV at that point.
Right.
And it's so funny. It's like, you know, to see the evolution of technology and the internet. I remember we had a senior president of sales at, an executive vice president of sales that started a Career Builder in the early days. He said they used to call people in the 90s and they'd be like, what's the internet? So it just evolves so fast as far as within there. But anyways, like it's evolved to the point where it's like, if you're a brand, you've got to realize you're a media company. Like a component of you is a media company. The more you fight it, the more difficult it's going to be. And it moves so fast that you need to embrace it now and like just find what works for you all. Like if you want to be the type that every day you walk into the office and you're doing the, hey, we're in the office, like everybody say hello, everybody say the Pledge of Allegiance, like whatever it is. If it works, it works. Like if right. It helps you with relationships online, if it helps you sell product, if it helps you educate people about your people, process, and product. Like, I mean, I don't think that that's so bad. Like, is that so challenging? Like, if it's that challenging, I think you should kind of question why you're still doing what you're doing, you know? So, yeah.
And if you can't do it yourself, if you can't be that media company internally, like, you need to partner with someone that can be, right? Like, so for us, it's not that difficult. Even though we don't do video in-house, like we do a lot of other content creation. Like, you know, I've got a whole social media department in Marknology that just puts out content for us, you know, buying in early to Gary V's kind of stuff, like create content and distribute it across lots of different channels and break it down. And, you know, we bought into that. I got a lot of young people that work for my team, mid-20s. So this kind of thing is easy for them. You know, this is the world they grew up in. You know, if you're an older company, partner with an agency that knows what's going on, partner with an agency or a media company that can help you offset that, you know? So, you know, everyone doesn't have to be good in front of the camera or in front of the podcast. I have like brilliant people working at Marknology smarter than myself that will never get on the podcast. Right. You know, but, by leveraging, you know, our team, you're getting access to those young minds and like understanding TikTok and understanding Clubhouse and understanding how all these things work. You know, you just, I guess it's like that, that cliche saying that's like, you know, fill the gaps where it's not a cliche saying, but the one that, sorry, forgive me, it's a long Monday. But the one that's like, you know, you got to fill the gaps what you're not good at. Like if there's something that you can't do within your company, you know, you need to find a partner. For me, it's, you know, I'm not doing the accounting. I definitely have a partner for that. And you guys need to think about media and content creation the same way you're thinking about how important the, you know, the accounting and the financials is in your business, because that's going to be how you're going to grow it.
Yeah, you can't be a cheap ass with that stuff. Like if you think you're going to like, you know, you go from making, you know, your revenue goes from 10,000 to 50,000 and you think your overhead's like 5 and it's going to stay the same to handle that amount of work. Like you're a fool. I mean, try it and good luck, but like you have to reinvest back into the business, whether it may be branding, bringing in experts as far as such as yourself to handle setting up e-commerce sites and making those look good and optimizing those, video production, social, whatever that may be. Like, you've got to reinvest into these things. And I mean, I'm sure you work with clients too, and I have this conversation all the time that it's not like it needs to be constant. Like, some of these, right, some of these e-commerce, like some of your clients, like, they probably need stuff like multiple times a day, depending on like their product set and inventory. But if it's like, I had a conversation with a company that has an AI component for manufacturing training. And they're like, we need to get our social done. And I'm like, I don't really think that you need that like that. You know what I mean? Like a blog post, maybe some intellectual marketing content as far as video content, talking about the development of this, how it's used, case studies, testimonials. Yeah. And that can be used by your sales team and then on your website too. But like, you don't need like a post 4, 5, 6 times a day as far as about like what's happening with the actual developments, because it's not a consumer product. Like, B2B and B2C sales are so different. B2C needs way more content. Usually B2B is, you know, we're sitting across from one another. Let's get down to business and figure this out. You know what I mean?
I'm going to research your company over a week, make a decision, you know, look at how you guys are presented online. At least that matters to me, you know, but it's not something that you're like, you got to continue to be marketed to do business with them. It's more so, I do feel like it's more of that trust factor when people to go look into you. Do you have content out there? Are you relevant? Are you relevant? You talked about, employee content. Is that what you called it? Employee
culture, employee culture, recruitment, training content. Those items, because like, you want the best people. He who has the best team wins. Like, I mean, look at the Lakers and LeBron James. Like, wherever he goes, they're a contender immediately. You know what I mean? Like, you get the best talent, you're gonna win.
Right. So what kind of what kind of content are you putting out there as a company to get young talent, to get the qualified people? Do they want to work for your company? It's not always for getting the other manufacturers that don't give a shit about content, manufacturer to manufacturer, if they're buying your parts or something like that. But if you want people to work there, quality of life matters when you're hiring nowadays. And so are you putting out content that shows that you care about your employees, you care about the environment, or those are the kind of things I think that matter and the type of content you need. I'll tell a little story of an Amazon brand. Before I do, a reminder that today's episode is sponsored by our friends over at Helium 10. Helium 10 has over 30 tools to help you research, start, and manage your business on Amazon. Get all the tools you need to run and grow your business by signing up at helium10.com. Hustlers get 50% off just by using the code HUSTLE. The story I wanted to tell was kind of about, we had an issue with a brand. You know, they're doing probably $20,000 a month or so in sales on Amazon. And we had a really high return rate with these products. And sales were growing, but so was the return rate. And, you know, we're talking about a $200 item. So, you know, you sell an item on Amazon, you pay the fees, you pay the advertising to get the sale. And then you got the return fees and the restocking. And, you know, you're going back through it. It was crushing profitability in a way that there wasn't like a red flag necessarily that was, saying, hey, this is the problem. Hey, this is the problem. The problem's faulty. Like, the items are amazing. So it was about, I started thinking just about how to interpret the data and what kind of content we needed to make for it, whether it was photos or video or whatever. Like, somewhere in there, we're getting to the customers, they're buying it, not understanding what they're getting. When they get it, it's too complicated, or they don't know how to put it together, or something's happening there from when we sell them to when they get it. And we just took a switch and went from kind of like salesy copy and salesy content and salesy videos that are really about, they were just like, you know, buy this, more traditional. And we took a spin and went real educational. And so there's no way that anyone was buying this product without really knowing what they were getting, unless they didn't look at it at all and they just bought an item for $200 without even researching it, you know. And it affected it by, I think, I think we were over 20% in a return rate, which is pretty crazy. E-commerce standards are around 5. And we cut it in half in 30 days just by changing that content and changing the story we were telling about the product. From a salesy, like, let me tell you all the benefits of this product, to a educational one. Huge difference. And, you know, those are kind of the things that you just need. You need experts that understand content and storytelling and how to communicate that message through your sales. You know, and it really paid off big for us.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Yeah. I mean, the thing is like, I've definitely found that in communicating with people is a couple of things. Trust and storytelling have survived the test of time. Like,
yes.
they've never gone away. Like, it's the focal point. Those, and also, like, I don't know if it's just in general with humans, maybe it's me, but I've found after somebody turns 25, it's hard to change their opinion kind of on anything. And unless they've experienced it directly, or you educate them to the point that they convince themselves that they came up with it, and then you get through that like fight or flight mentality, and you realize, and they realize, like, whoa, I could use this. Like, my girlfriend was trying to make crepes with a pan, and I was just like, why don't you get a crepe maker? And she's just like, why would I do that? Like, why do we need to spend the money on that? And like, she started looking at them and was like, oh, you know, slowly. And then, you know, 2 weeks later, she's like, hey, can you buy that crepe maker that you said you wanted to buy me? What do you think about buying that for me? And I was just like, sure. Like, will it sure. make it work?
Your idea. I got you.
Yeah. Yeah. Great idea. So, I mean, yeah, that's how it goes. It's just like, you have to educate the buyers, because if I just walk up to somebody on the street and, like, I said this to our sales team one time, I'm like, if you all are calling people up and saying, hey, do you want to buy video? You need to reassess what you're doing, because you've got to educate people and show them how it's going to be a solution to the problem that they have.
Or I love that. I love that. A big way that I look at it is like, are we capturing demand or are we creating demand? You know, and what kind of video, what kind of story are we telling for that? You know, and then that can kind of dictate where you're going with it. But there's so much you can do in a short seconds on this, in a few short seconds on a video, that you can't do with paragraphs of words. You know, and if the pictures don't go along with the audio, or go, like, you should be able to watch it quietly and get the same story from the video, in my opinion, you know, just like watching the video and get what's going on. And so creating with intentionality, you know, behind it, and, you know, just a mindset thing, entrepreneur to entrepreneur, like, you know, you're talking about 25-year-olds and, like, it's hard to change anyone's mind. Trust me, I am selling to older white gentlemen, businesses about Amazon, right, for the last 9 years. So yeah. I really understand. And I say that generically, like, that is just the manufacturers of America. That's where we're at. You know, and I'm talking to suits about e-commerce, new and upcoming, and, like, this is what's happening on Amazon, and Bezos isn't out to steal your business. And, you know, changing minds and the way to do their business is insane. The pandemic came along and just slapped everybody in the face a little bit and said, hey, e-commerce is important, like, you should pay attention. Definitely making it a little bit easier for me to sell what we do. But it's almost like, you know, I think about that a lot. Like, how do you get people to change their minds? How do you get different perspective? How do you grow outside of just selling? Like, what's the psychology, you know, of that? And I think that's why so much change comes when people hit rock bottom, is because whenever they hit rock bottom, you know, it's almost like a reset to everything that they knew before. And so they're much more willing to accept all of these new things than what they had kind of predetermined. But you're right. I don't know if I ever picked a number of like 25, but I definitely very firmly believe that it's like, they almost have to like get hit upside the head, or just like, you know, like hit a reset to get
something
their
mindset. Something bad's gotta happen. Real bad's gotta happen to have someone's perspective changed.
Like, yeah, the kitchen has to burn down trying to use it in this, trying to cook them in the skillet or something, you know, equivalent of the Krebs metaphor. But I don't think I even know what that is. So I'm definitely gonna have to get on Amazon and find what those are.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm gonna just Google this really quick. Cool. Like, let's talk about, let's wrap up the last few minutes talking about what's next for you guys. Like, you know, what's some fun projects you guys are working on? You're in Chicago working on a project. You don't have to share details, but, you know, what's up and coming? What's kind of cool? What's going on?
Yeah. So, we're really kind of drilling down and refocusing a little because, I mean, you're talking about, like, as far as, you know, with Marknology, as far as, a lot of people at this point, like the pandemic hit us all upside the head and we're like, oh, I didn't have an e-commerce store. I wasn't on Amazon before. Like you got cinched as far as hard during all of this, because if you weren't set up online, it was kind of like, you know, with any type of e-commerce setup, product photos, product videos to get that stuff out there. I mean, you were kind of like, you know, in the dark. I mean, there was no way to get around it. But on our end, I've definitely, and this is the entrepreneur's dilemma, and I'm sure that you've dealt with this before. I love all our clients, no hate as far as any of them, but we've really tried to focus on the top like 20% of those. Because, oh man, I remember the early days. Like I remember some months, like we would do like 70 to 80 projects a month. And it was just, it's almost like you love it because you're getting the revenue in, but it's also draining because there's so much work. So we're really focusing on a lot of really big projects. We're doing some heavy graphical content on some developments as far as like old operations that are being redeveloped. We are working with some companies trying to figure out right now, like, what can we do on the retail side of things with these huge malls? Like, what can we create to try to draw attention to them? Because I don't know if you know this, and like, you know, happy to send them out to KC as far as your way if you want, like, the indoor skating rink as far as at the mall, or, you know, the indoor putt-putt or darts or bowling or whatever. Like, we're doing a lot of stuff to repurpose assets and show that. I'm trying to grow. I want to add 4 more people this year. I want to add 4 more people this year, do bigger projects, do more intense projects, and keep growing the company. I mean, I got into this business because I loved snowboarding videos back in the day. I loved music videos back in the day. And I was like, well, I can't do either of those professionally. So what's the next best thing? And I found this, you know, by happenstance. But we want to keep growing. I want happy employees. I want healthy employees, team members, excuse me. And we want to keep doing bigger budget projects and keep pushing the limits as far as on the creative and finding solutions instead of just trying to sell the same product set over and over. Like we want to be ahead of the curve with the next best thing as far as content wise and creative, as far as that's going to help our clients as far as with their initiatives.
Yeah, let's talk about that just for a second, because, you know, I was talking about the friend of mine that's local that I talk to all the time, just like he's building his business, I'm building mine. You know, you get a small little network of entrepreneur friends and you're just like kind of dumping your problems on each other, you know, like, hey, this is what I'm dealing with, this is what he's dealing with. And, you know, I'm dealing with brands that can't afford good video and he's dealing with brands that can't afford good video, you know, so he's like, I can't do it for those prices or, you know, things like that. And, you know, I'm always trying to tell him, I'm like, look, I don't have the solution for you to know how to make these videos at this price or create content or reach these brands. You know, but like, these things keep coming out, you know, whether it's the next best thing. We're talking about Amazon Post and Amazon Live on Amazon that are very much content driven. It's content driven photography and video. And if you guys are on Amazon, just do a simple search on your cell phone and you'll start to see Amazon Post come up for the brands that are like relevant and doing things. You know, talk about how many brands are on Amazon and how many of them are doing Amazon Post or Amazon Live. The number is not very big in regards to the ones doing it. So it's a huge wide open space, right? To young creators or people thinking to, hey, like what's another realm we can get into where there's no competition. And we can just keep creating innovative content, like whether it's like explainer videos, animation, you know, a mixture of those two, you know, what can be done for companies to explain, you know, if you can't afford this, well, maybe you're doing a whiteboard video, all the different like gimmicky things that come out as well. Yeah. But what's new, what's working. You know, that's where I am as a company too, with Marknology, is like the reason I want to work with bigger brands. If anyone wants to ask me, and instead of the smaller guy, that, you know, we're both local or Midwesterner guys. You're from Indianapolis. I'm from Kansas City, Missouri. You know, around the same area, people like to work with people in their city, stay local. You know, and the reason, like, creating is creating for me. Like you said, you got into it for snowboarding and different things. You just wanted to be around it. I realized that whether it was music or art or whatever the case might be, creating is creating. And that's what I like to do. Yeah. And for me to continue to evolve in the e-commerce space, I need to be working with brands that have bigger budgets to try some of these things so I can keep learning. And I think that's where I'm at as well, in that stage. If I can relate to you in that way, is like bigger projects. You know, it's not just working with less. It's that the bigger companies have tried the lower level things, I guess, in regards to like they've got brand videos or they've got this. And maybe we're getting specific videos made for each product, or maybe we're, you know, trying to bring in influencers into our videos and just doing things like that, that are kind of like pushing the envelope in regards to e-com and what people are doing. So yeah, totally get that. And I think people from the outside don't understand that, but you know, you're looking for the big products, you're looking for the shopping malls. Like I know a lot of the shopping malls are doing turning into warehouses and fulfillment centers as well. Yep. At least here in the Midwest, you know, logistics is really big based being in the middle. You know, so I don't know if that's what will happen to all of our shopping malls, but I kind of get off on all these kind of pivots and things changing because I just love seeing the entrepreneurial mind come out in these business owners, and they're like, okay, well, that's what we were doing for the last 20 years, but like, what are we going to do now? For me, it gets me going and just kind of seeing what people can come up with. So send all the putts our way.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. No, 100%. It's interesting, man. I mean, we have a client that is a cloud-based SaaS provider, and we did this project with them that their CFO actually said within it, he said, if you are afraid of change, you're going to hate extinction. And as a founder, as a business owner, and as a person, I think in general, like you have to constantly be evolving. Like you can't, like if you stay sedentary, like the world will pass you by, and then 20 years will go by and be like, oh, what happened? It's like, well, you weren't paying attention. So you just got to keep evolving. And you hit upon something earlier that I just kind of wanted to build upon for a real quick second.
Yeah.
Because I know you're a creative as well. I mean, the thing is like if people are your listeners are listening to this and they don't think that they're a creative, like, or they think that they're missing something, like you got to realize like creativity is imagination, and imagination is for everyone. And within that, some people just push the creative that much further. Like, you know, it doesn't make it wrong. It doesn't make it right. It's just like they thought creatively this was the best, and we're going to stop there. So yeah, you just got to keep trying. You got to keep trying, keep pushing, and keep evolving as far as with your creative.
Yeah, if you stop growing, if you're dead, you know. And me and my sister, we made a promise together that was like, you know, we're looking at elderly people, and you can see some that are 80 or 90 and still getting out and about and living life. And you can look at others that, like, you know, the family coming over is a shock to them. And it's like, what's the difference in those two groups of people? And I think it's just the change. Some of them just stop changing. They stop going out to the grocery store. They stop doing things. They stop going for the walks. They stop seeing their environment change. They stop seeing things like that. And when that happens, like your world just starts closing in, you know? And so it becomes overstimulating for you to even have people over to the house versus someone the same age and the same health is out, like, you know, exploring the world. And I've just always been so perplexed by the differences. Like, how can this person be 90 and living like this, and this person's 90 and living like this? And, you know, what's the differences between them? I think it's the stimulation, you know, that you get from changing and continuing to try to grow as a person, and take that into business, right? Like, you know, you have to continually be innovating. We're never the agency that's tried to be perfect. We're the agency that's tried to be the fastest and innovate fast and quickly and know what's coming up and be on that before everybody else. I think that's where a lot of the big wins lie. This conversation has been awesome, letting me dig into, you know, a little bit about content and for our listeners to understand just like all the different ways that it can be used to help your business, whether you're in service-based, whether you're a shopping mall, whether you're an Amazon seller. This has been awesome, Tyler. I really thank you for your time.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me as far as on the show. And, you know, definitely we'll stay tuned as far as for the future. Anxious to collaborate with you and anybody else as far as in your network in the future. I mean, we're always a drop away as far as from getting in touch with us via IG, phone, text, email, whatever. I mean, we're here to be of assistance.
Yeah, that was actually my follow-up is like, where can people reach you? Like, give us some of those handles. We'll have them in the notes as well. But for anyone listening in the car, you know, where can they get in contact with you? And, you know, I guess another thing I would like to ask maybe just for our listeners is, you know, who are the types of people that should be contacting E3M? You know, what kind of projects, like what kind of manufacturer, what kind of businesses is in your guys' sweet spot? Is it everyone? Is it big picture only? Like, you know, let's try to paint a little picture for that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we're definitely looking for companies that are really interested and want to invest in their content marketing as far as from a video and photo component. We really want to work with people that have you. We love the challenge of somebody bringing something crazy to us. Like, how can you figure this out? What do we need? And like, can you get this done now? We work under really tight deadlines. So a lot of people in the construction services space, commercial real estate. We work with a lot of SaaS providers in the technology space, a lot of logistics organizations as well, as far as to create a variety of branded and sales and marketing collateral for them too.
I love it. That was great. And, you know, speaking of SaaS providers, once again, today's episode of Startup Hustle was Helium 10, cutting edge software that helps you grow your business on Amazon. Start your own journey by visiting helium10.com to scale your business on Amazon today. Remember to use hustle for half off. Helium 10 is legitimately one of the biggest SaaS, you know, companies for Amazon sellers in the world that I live in. You know, and whether you're a SaaS company, whether you're a construction company, whether you're in commercial real estate, you know, something I haven't mentioned on the show, but I own a property management Airbnb business here in Kansas City. Nice. Have about 90 properties, and pushing into the video space. Cause it's one way that we can be a step above the next, you know, people touring our homes before they come and book them, and, you know, follow up emails, showing them where to park their cars and, you know, things like that. So using content and using video, you know, to essentially be a host, to be a better guest, or, to provide a better guest experience for everyone. So, from what I'm getting from you, it sounds like, you know, anyone that's serious about content and with a fun project is an opportunity for you guys to connect.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Okay. Awesome. You guys heard it. Tyler, thanks again for being on the show. Do we cover where the people can find you? What's your Instagram? What's your LinkedIn?
I gotcha. So, LinkedIn, E3M Creative.com is E3M Creative.com. And then you can also find us on Instagram at E3M_creative.
Awesome. Thanks again, guys. Shout out from fullscale.io, helping you build software teams quickly and affordably, our resident sponsor for today's episode. I'll see you guys next time.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time.